Fabrics, the number one da down under for socks, and has been for 20 years.
I'm a bit surprised this morning because I read a story. And when I say read a story, it was somewhere hidden on an online news site. And I'm even surprised that our esteemed newsreader, James Late, didn't lead with this story this morning.
Too busy doing Tom and Ollie.
He does the overnight show. He's become quite a prominent part of the show.
Are you doing your spot on their show now, James?
I am. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, no, that's good.
3:10, tune in. He's very good.
No wonder he's so tired for our show.
James, are you aware of this story? I read this morning, koalas are practically extinct with only 80,000 left in the wild, meaning they can't produce a new generation.
Koalas, I didn't have that one.
How can you not know the koalas are extinct?
I had Kate Miller-Heidke instead from Eurovision.
Well, I mean, James, I'll forgive you for this. How is the rest of the news? Peter Hitchener didn't lead with this yesterday.
Boxy, just a quick one. Yeah. How do they know there's 80,000 left? Who's counting them?
I think that's a really
good
question.
That staggers me.
That is a great question, and I don't have the answer to it.
It'd be an approximate. They'd look at probably regions and approximate, you would have thought.
We knew that they had the
Thanks, David.
We knew that they had the sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah, they got chlamydia.
STDs. Chlamydia is a problem.
It's a shameful.
Their loss of habitat, apparently heat waves.
And do you know why they get that?
Why?
From mating.
Yeah, I thought an STD might come from that.
Yeah, so if there's 80,000, just say half of them are male, half of them are female. Surely they're still.
Well, you'd think so, but no, I think the reason that they're becoming extinct is because their habitat's declining. I don't think it's about the chlamydia.
Oh.
I don't think chlamydia is killing them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not helping.
So we just need to grow more eucalyptus trees, maybe.
Well, what we need to do, this is alarming though, guys. I'm going to repeat that. They're functionally extinct. Koalas. Like, this is sort of, I know there's an election campaign going on. Could one of the leaders get around this? Imagine Australia without koalas.
Save koalas.
That's where we're going.
Genuinely important.
What do the koalas bring?
What do you mean? You're asking them to justify their existence.
No. I'm just asking, like, what do they bring? Like, bees. If bees went extinct, we're stuffed.
Koalas bring cuteness.
Yeah, I get all that.
Lots of
I get all that when Australian opens up here and Roger Federer goes and gets a photo with them, like,
Yeah.
So I love a koala, but what do they bring?
Right.
They bring.
Because they eat our trees.
They're cute, again.
And we need oxygen
and
from trees.
They are, well, okay, I would argue, if you asked most overseas people, what do you know about Australia, they'd say koalas and kangaroos.
Yeah, I love koalas. But what I'm saying is, do they bring anything?
Well, there you go. Like immense tourism value. If they have to justify their existence, they are wonderful for tourism.
For a photo.
They eat gum leaves. That's important to keep them under control.
Yeah, but we need trees for oxygen.
Okay, what have you got against koalas?
I said I like koalas.
It just feels like you just want them to be extinct.
No, I don't.
Don't be a koala hater, bro.
I like koalas.
I feel like...
I have a caramello one. They're beautiful.
I have no history. I've got no vet science behind me here. I've got no zoology degree. But surely we need to get to the bottom of this, people. I mean, I know there's climate change, but now there's extinct koalas.
Yeah.
Could we address this and... I was also thinking, if they are in fact extinct, again, is no one else alarmed? Am I the only one alarmed?
I care.
But why can't they, the ones at the zoo, just mate them and then make more? Because they're not extinct, because they live in a zoo.
I should have said, I don't have a zoology certificate, but either do you.
That's why I'm asking questions. I'm just
asking a lot of questions.
Okay, well, 13:10:60, if you are a zoologist and you can answer this for us.
Right.
But also, does anybody want to relive their memories of koalas, guys? Because they're as good as gone. I mean,
well, maybe the gum trees are dying and that's why the koalas are dying.
Okay, away from the causes.
My first memory of koalas camping down at Anchorbell Caravan Park down in Phillip Island. You might be familiar with it on Church Street there. And every night, above where I slept in my Sesame Street sleeping bag, always heard koalas mating as I went to sleep.
What was it? What was the sound
they
like?
They're really aggressive. Really aggressive.
Beautiful.
I was about six going, Dad, what's going on outside
your
in the
country? Mama sure does love your education, boy.
What?
Forrest Gump.
Special memories.
Anyone who loves koalas and is as worried about it as I am, please share your memories.
Share your memories.
And
that was a beautiful. Thank you for yours.
Can answer Fev's questions. Can we just mate a couple and get more of them?
101.9 The Fox.
The Fox.
This is a news story that's hidden on the news websites this morning. When I say hidden, I had to scour. I came across it and the headline is koalas are practically, they're basically extinct. There's only 80,000 left in the wild and they can't produce the next generation. So in 20 years, gone. How is nobody worried about this? I've not
20
heard...
20 years?
Well, I just made that bit up.
Oh.
But, no...
don't make things up.
Don't get bogged down.
This is the problem. This sort of news story shouldn't be left in my hands. I'm not a journalist.
And 80,000 is an estimate.
Well, I know. I realise this, but I just think we've got leaders on campaign trails. Who's out fighting for the koalas? Imagine Australia. Picture this for a second, Melbourne. Australia without koalas. What have we got? Kookaburra?
You know what all we've got?
Kangaroos.
All we've got is memories.
Touch! Memories of koalas.
Sorry,
we're
that's
sharing
the wrong song.
Them
Sorry.
This morning. Whilst, yeah, it's really important to get the right song.
Memories.
Right. Now we have Adam from Brunswick West. Hi, Adam.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, Adam. Now, Adam, I believe you are a zoologist.
Yeah, I'm a zoologist at Wild Action Zoo. We're just outside Melbourne. So I work with koalas every day.
Welcome, because now we've got someone on the radio who knows what they're talking about. Adam, are you alarmed by this story? Is this true?
Yeah, I have been for a very long time, and I'm one of the people that cares about it. I get to talk to about 250,000 people every year through my job, and I'm talking to everyone, telling them actually 80,000 is an upper estimate. Like, there's probably not even 80,000 koalas left, and they're dying out really quickly because they're really fussy eaters, but they only eat about 20 species of gum leaves out of the 900 we've got, and we're cutting down all the wrong trees.
Why is this not bigger news, Adam? Like, Australia without koalas, I feel like that's really alarming.
Yeah, Australia is a great country, but people don't care about animals, unfortunately, and they're just dying out really quickly, and everyone just thinks, I need my toilet paper, I need my everything made out of trees, but I don't really care about the animals that live there.
So they're like vegans, they just eat the same thing.
Yeah, well, a little bit. They're not very well evolved to eat the right thing. They only eat gum leaves, which aren't a great thing, and they only eat about 20 species.
So can we teach them to eat another food, or No,
that's how they've evolved over millions of years, Feb, so they're going to be stuck like that. We just need to start cutting down different trees or cutting down different species of trees. Also, even on blue gum plantations, there's a koala a week go through a wood chipper on a blue gum plantation.
Wow.
That's awful.
This is quite insightful. Wow. I'm glad we're breaking news.
You wonder, FIFA, why newsreaders like James Lake, in a sense, should hang their heads in shame.
We should win a Walkley for this, because we're cracking something, guys.
Hey,
disgusting.
Oh, sorry, ads is gone. But can we plant more gum trees? Would that help?
Of course we could.
Do you know what I'm genuinely worried about, Fev? That this is going to be left in our hands, and we don't know what to do. So,
Adam can be our supervisor.
Well, exactly. We need to sort of get people who can do this for us. Kate in Roeville. Hey, Kate.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, Kate. Is this devastating news true, and should we all be worried?
Yes, I'm an ecologist, and I can answer Feb's question about their ecological role. So koalas eat the tips of the gum leaves, mainly at the top of the canopy of the tree, which actually keeps the gum trees healthy. And then their droppings the nutrients in their droppings actually provide extra nutrients for the soil and the soil biota, and then the gum trees growing.
What an answer.
Wow. There you go. So they're very important.
Yeah, they are. But unfortunately, like Adam said, we're cutting down so many trees that we just, it's not sustainable for all our species. We're seeing the extinction of species in front of our eyes. Flying foxes, which people tend to hate, are really critical for our gum trees as well. Like, they're the pollinators of the gum trees.
We'll save them as well.
I was just thinking about this, Feb, and thank you for that, Kate. This is really insightful. I want you to picture this.
I went on a flying fox in Poo-Wong.
That's basically a swing. Now, Feb, picture this. Ready? Fast forward, you're a grandparent. Let's go forward, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You're a grandparent, and one of your grandchildren comes from the supermarket or 7-Eleven with a caramello bear, and they go...
Koala.
Pop.
Koala.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bear.
The caramello koala is extinct
as well. Oh, the caramello koala. They come to you, and they go, Pop, what's this? And you will be saying to them, there was a thing called a koala.
Boxy, we did a segment yesterday. I'll be old. I won't care. Just eat it.
Oh, that's heartless.
I just think it's sad that our grandkids won't know what koalas are.
Well, if we plant more gum trees.
Are you going to do that?
Well, let's do it.
At home about the gum
trees. With lots of plums.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Tonight, make sure you've got on Channel 9 at 7:30 for the Talking About Your Generation episode that features helping our good mate Andy Lee, of course, is the Gen Y team captain. Our very own Brendan Favola is on the show tonight,
yes,
guys.
Fev, the Fevolution.
Yeah.
The only way you'll see him on telly this week.
Oh, wow. That was...
We had Hamish in yesterday. He did similar gags. Oh. I thought these two had separated, but they're still entwined together.
Mine wasn't a gag. But, Fev, you were tremendous tonight. You are tremendous. What I find about tonight's episode of Talking About Your Gen is a real insight of being in a team with Brendan.
What are those insights?
Well, Andrew? There's not a lot of teamwork.
Hey, but we went
boy,
well.
We did go well, but boy, does he get up and about when we're on a fire. And yeah, he is reliable. Like, weirdly, when the chips are down, he comes up with
the
goods.
Man.
He
yep.
is the man.
It was so
again,
much fun.
If things aren't going well, he blames his teammates.
Oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
There was only one teammate. That was me. Or he just attacks the opposition.
No, I verbally. Did that. Yeah, I verbally attack the opposition.
Who is your opposition tonight?
Caleb Annis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Robin Butler. They're in the old team.
Yeah. And, you bagged them a little bit, but I was all right to them because they're my elder. So
yes,
I looked
that's
after
true.
Them.
Yeah, yeah. I covered the top end.
And yeah, you and went, I went
you
low.
Went the
yeah,
guys.
And they what was pooped so themselves.
What was so funny, he's got these young, you know, Gen Zs. Lawrence Boxall is just starting his TV career, and Kieran Lyons, who's on Triple J and a young comedian, and I could see that they were edgy and really excited to impress. And Favola, as we're not going well, turns to me and goes, I'm going to rattle them. just in my ear. And I'm like, what?
What?
He goes, they're going well. I'm going to rattle them.
And
then just starts throwing some barbs that way. And they didn't know what to do.
They didn't say anything.
Beating up on kids.
They didn't say anything for 20 minutes. It was great. And we went,
we did.
And we scored.
Again, true insights into how it would be to play with Brendan. It was so much fun.
It was fun.
And then the final game tonight. Which is
my favourite bit.
The best game they've ever created, I think, for the show was we had to cook, what was it, a roast chicken, a trifle,
yep.
and a prawn cocktail.
Prawn cocktail with avocado and it's pitch black.
And they the twist was there's going to be a power outage. We got 10 seconds to see where everything was. They'd built a studio with no windows or anything. Pitch black, filmed it all with infrared cameras, and so the audience could see what we're doing. We couldn't see what we're doing.
Had to pour wine, set the table.
Yeah. You were remarkably good at it. Like,
really?
He must, I think, photographic memory or something.
Yeah, I do. I got a little bit of that.
I couldn't believe it. And I never wanted to come on this show and talk Fev up. He does enough of that himself.
It is weird when you do it. It feels
different.
It feels icky. I'm going to go and have a shower after this, like, and, you know, plunge my mouth like Ace Ventura did.
Boxy, speaking of a Fev bad teammate,
yes.
You did, we won't mention the network, but you did a different show where you were Fev's teammate. It was a game show.
Yeah, I misunderstood the rules, though.
We played a game. It was called The Chase. And we're together, and she was buzzing in trying to beat me, and we're a team.
I thought he was my opposition.
She's my boxing. This is not the way it's supposed to work.
I just misunderstood the rules.
It was not ideal.
And we didn't win. But tonight's show, I didn't really know. You rock up, and they don't really tell you much. So
nothing.
I'm like, going in cold. But I really enjoyed it. It was so much fun.
I can't wait
and
to see
Sean, the host, he's incredible.
Yeah.
He was so funny. I loved it. It was really fun.
He is a madman, though.
He's crazy.
I think we're seeing... there's times where Sean's
he made us look sane.
Yeah. There's times I see Sean McAuliffe doing something that's very funny, and I go, ooh, should we be laughing, or have we seen an old man lose his mind? Like, with every season, I feel like, oh, I'm laughing, but I know you're getting on, Sean. Maybe you've lost...
But it is 7:30 tonight, guys. Channel 9. Great show.
We'll
great fun. Andy Lee and I go, mate, the last bit.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
So much fun. I think I corrupt Andy a little bit.
Thank you, Ando, for not mentioning the fact that Fev's sitting on an ottoman and I'm lying on a couch while we're conducting this interview.
You are so relaxed. I was going to snuggle in alongside you.
It's the
David
best.
Hasselhoff style.
Being pregnant is very convenient for doing radio.
Yeah.
Comfortably.
Everything else, not so much.
I'm very uncomfortable.
12 to 8.
I'm very uncomfortable.
It is the Fox. Thanks for coming in, Ando.
101.9 The Fox.
Fifi's single mum baby shower. This is unbelievable, Fifi. It all has just, it's taken off in the last 24 hours. You want to share your baby shower with mums in Melbourne who could really do with some spoiling.
Yeah, because I am, and I've chosen to be a single mum and do this on my own. And I'm very lucky. I've got some great friends and my family around me. And it's occurred to me that there are women who are pregnant and doing it tough on their own. And it is... it is difficult. You know, you don't necessarily have someone to share everything with, and you're on, you go to appointments by yourself. And
do you want a stat?
Oh, I'd love, thank you. Yes.
Did a bit of research yesterday.
Okay. Well,
there is over 280,000 single mums in Melbourne.
Yeah. And they're all doing a great job, and you know what? They should be celebrated. So I said, I'd really like to share my baby shower with other single mums who maybe are having a tough time in pregnancy on their own. And we've got Kate from Ringwood on the line. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Hey. Well, firstly, congratulations.
Woo. Thank you.
How many weeks are you?
22 today, actually.
Well done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kate, now this is speaking as another single woman pregnant. It's an incredible time in your life, but it's not always easy being pregnant on your own,
no,
is it?
Can no, you talk, there's a lot that goes on with it.
There is. Can you talk about your situation and how you're going?
Yeah, look, a friend of mine and I, we sort of started seeing each other and I feel pregnant. He didn't really want a baby. It's not convenient for him at the time, and I understand that completely, and I've decided to keep the baby and have the baby. But, yeah, it's kind of put a real damper on my friendship group, because we were all sort of part of the same friendship group. So a lot of people have taken sides. So the idea of having a baby shower is pretty hard, because you sort of don't know who you would invite. Or
so, Kate, hang on, you're saying that there are, you've got friends that have turned on you because you've chosen to have your baby.
Yeah, I mean, it affects both of our lives. And yeah.
Oh, Kate. look, I'm really sorry to hear that. And, you know, as I said yesterday, you know, when you're not supported by people and you don't have friends and family around you, and particularly your friends have turned on you, that is so tough. Kate, I would love to share this baby shower with you. Will you come and be a part of it?
I would love to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, that's great.
That's our first person.
Yeah. Oh, and the ladies, yeah, we had a couple yesterday.
We had a couple
I hope
yesterday.
They're coming.
Yeah,
well,
I hope so.
That's Kate, you know, this is a really special time in your life, and I'm sorry that you're going through that, but you're not alone. You've got us, and we'll have an awesome baby shower. Fev's organising it, and he's been under the pump yesterday.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. It's going to be the biggest baby shower in the world.
Well, look, since Fev decided, it was really on the spur of the moment, hey, I want to share my baby shower, you know, Fev's sort of entrusted with organising it.
Party planner.
You've been smashed. Your Insta DMs, and we should try and get people to go to the show's Instagram, but they just go straight to you because you're organising it. We'll steer people more towards the show, Fifi Fev Byron. But you've been smashed. Yeah. Melbourne's got right behind it, right?
Instagram went nuts. I haven't had that much traction on my Instagram ever, which hence is going to be the biggest. It's probably, we've done a lot of great things on this show over the years, and this easily will be the best thing that this radio station ever does.
Wow.
We're inviting all the single mums.
Oh, wow.
To a big baby shower, like, it's so touching. Like some of the messages I've been showing you throughout the morning, Boxy, about mums, and they're telling me their stories on Instagram, and gets at the heartstrings.
It is. I think single mums often you have to be tough, because you've got to be tough for your kids. But you should be celebrated, and we want to do that for.
But
the
it's not just having the baby by himself; it's going to the scans by yourself. Hmm. It's having the nights when you're waking up and you're getting reflux and all that stuff, and you've got no one to turn to. We're going to be there.
Yeah. Exactly. And Melbourne businesses getting right behind it. Several offers from venues, from all sorts of catering companies. You name it, we're getting these offers and they're all amazing. We'll get back to everyone. Fifi Fev Byron on Instagram, of course, Facebook as well.
101.9 The Fox.
Fev, I had a run-in with a busybody the other day.
Oh, wow.
Busybodies. They're an interesting type. They're an interesting breed, the busybody.
Miss Mangles style.
Yes, very. Actually, this woman was like a modern-day Mrs. Mangles. I'm picking Trixie up from school, and school pickup, I've often said this, I don't get it. I don't know why it's so hard.
Yeah, it's tough.
Why I can't.
It's a process.
It is a process. I still think stagger the end times for classes. So
right. I just get there real early. I'm so silly. I get there real early. I get there, pickup's 3:30. I get there at 3.
Well, I've been doing that. The other day, I sat in my car outside the school for 2 hours. I thought someone might knock on and go, you can't do this. You're outside of school having a sleep.
It's weird.
But anyway, I found a little car spot that no one parks at. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be my new little spot. It's on a corner. So the street curves.
Yep.
And it's between two driveways, but there's no sign, and I've been parking there.
So it's legal.
So if there's no sign, it's legal.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyway, so I was on the phone the other afternoon. I might be on the phone to Leon. I can't remember. I thought, well, maybe you even.
He was talking to me, I think.
I think I was talking to you. Anyway.
I got there real early.
I got, I'm getting out of the car and I'm on the phone and I'm talking. And the next minute, the busybody poked her head over the fence and she said, excuse me, you'll get a fine if you park there.
Was she a resident of the house?
She was. Oh, she's come out of her house.
Right.
She's actually.
Neighbourhood watch.
Well, I don't know. She didn't have one of those little stickers on her fence.
Did she have an OMO box out the front?
No, she didn't.
That's a reference from yesterday's show.
But anyway, but I'm on the phone. So already, I think it's quite rude to speak to someone who's in a conversation on the phone.
Yeah.
And I just looked at her and did a very fake smile. Huh? Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks for the heads up.
And I just kept walking because I thought that didn't need. And even if I'm going to get a fine, that's my business. I've gotten the fine.
So you just kept talking. So you're in the phone. You're just
I'm on
in
the phone.
Car.
I just continue my conversation. Right. Anyway, gone and picked Trix up. We're walking back to the car, having a little chat, which we do, which is me just saying, what did you do at school today? Nothing. What did you learn? Nothing.
she does.
Yeah, she just won't tell me anything. Anyway, I've seen the front door of that house open and the lady's coming back.
She's coming back for seconds.
I'm thinking, is she going to speak to me again? This is, wow, okay. Anyway, I'm popping Trix in the back of the car and there's the whole seatbelt debacle trying to get her in her car seat. Excuse me. And I'm like, really again? She said, I hate to be a busybody. I felt like saying, I'll stop you there. Clearly you don't. If you hated it so much, you wouldn't have another go.
You actually love it so much.
Yeah, you've come back.
Yeah.
And she's obviously been peering out the window because she's
waiting
thinking,
for you to get back.
I'm going to, Anyway, she's gone. I just want to tell you, you will get a fine there. You're not supposed to park there. And I said, thank you for letting me know. And I got in the car because that's my, I know she's not doing it because she cares about me. She doesn't know me.
I think she doesn't want anyone parking in front of her house.
That's exactly
that could well
that
be
is.
It.
That is exactly
or she's reserving it for someone that is coming.
OMO.
So now I'm just determined.
That's a reference from yesterday's show. Thanks.
Sorry, mate.
Then what I've done the next day, though, I've just parked there and I'm thinking I'll even get a fine, but I'm not going to be dictated to by a busybody. And I thought 131060, if anyone else would like to vent about the busybodies in their life, Byron, I believe we may even have a jingle to celebrate this. Busybodies, mind your business.
So annoying, just leave me alone. Mind your own business, everyone.
Busybodies, Fev. You'd get hit up by busybodies.
Yeah, I get hit up all the time, but I'm quite friendly. Not saying you're not, but I often talk to people. But, you know, when you're really busy and you're flat stick, like I had to go buy some stuff for nachos the other day, or tacos, sorry. So I just got some tacos, some mince and some sauce. And the way it is at the shopping centres these days, you've got to stand there and wait for the little beep, beep to get into the self-serve. So I went to the quick one, the 8 items or less, and the lady behind me was like, oh, cooking tacos for the kids, are we? Well, obviously. I don't know where to go with that.
I know.
She's asking you what you're having for dinner. It gets weird.
Don't look in my basket.
Well, I just got weird. Lucky I didn't have other things in there.
131060, that was definitely an example of.
We'll keep what about you, Byron? When you go for a spray tan, people
There's a girl when I go in to get my spray tans at the moment. I hope she's not listening. I find it really annoying because I sometimes just go in just for a bit of a bit of a freshen up. And she will say to me before.
Do you walk in with a hood so no one sees you?
Okay, before she's about to spray me, she goes, and what's the occasion?
Mm.
No, there's no occasion.
You're standing there in a G-string. You don't want to be chatted to.
None of your business.
Does there need to be an occasion?
Well,
to have a spray
it actually
tan?
Does for a man.
Well, it does for a man.
1019 The Fox. The Fox. The phone's going crazy for this. Busybodies. Oh, sorry, I wanted to play the longer one.
Do the longer one.
Phone's going crazy for this. Busybodies. Mind your business. So annoying. Just leave me alone. There are a lot of busybodies around Melbourne, Fief.
There are, and look, no, I brought this up because at school pickup, I thought I'd found a little spot that I could park at to race in and get tricks.
Nothing better than finding a little treasure like that.
I know. Anyway, the woman who lives in the house that I've been parking outside keeps coming out to tell me that I'll get a fine, But it's annoying me because I feel that this makes me want to get the fine more to go, leave me alone. I'm going to make the call about whether or not I get that fine, and it's none of your business. Yeah. But this is great. I just got a
little
DM.
Text, yeah, little
I just
texting.
Got a DM from one of the mums at the school.
So the lady in the house has probably gone next level.
So the mum just told me that there's now a parking inspector right now standing on that corner.
Oh, as we speak.
So I reckon the busybody's called them and said, stand here and book people.
Wow.
Gee, busybody.
Next level busybody.
Now we've got Dev from Keysborough. Hey, Dev.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, Dev. Dev, have you got a busybody in your life?
Yeah, well, I did. Her name was Margaret, and she used to knock on our door and say if we could cut our grass. It's a bit long.
Oh,
do you know what, Dev? What I love about this, if I've got a busybody in my life, I want her to be called Margaret.
Yeah, 100%.
I just think she should be called Margaret.
It's like when people on your street, when you got the bins, like it's bin night, say on a Monday night, and you put your bins out, and it's now Wednesday, and your bins are still there because you can't be stuff taking them in. Mm. Do you mind taking your bin in? Well, it's my house. I'll leave it out there.
Yeah, correct.
Busybodies.
The heads of body corporate are often busybodies, aren't they? The people that sort of run.
Oh, totally.
Oh, there's some busybodies.
When you're living in an apartment building. Mm. Kathy in Melton. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Foxy. How are you?
Yeah, good, Kath. Are you dealing with a busybody in your life?
I am. I'm dealing with a child, actually, a 9-year-old.
I love kids, busybodies. What was this kid doing?
We have a fireplace and we put the wrong wood on. So, yeah, they said that the fireplace was smelling and then we put the fresh wood on and it didn't smell. And, yeah, they pretty much knocked on the door again and said it was smelling.
So there is a kid in your street who just rings you to tell you that you're smoke.
No, they actually knock on the door.
Yeah, but how do they know that? So is this kid smelling the smoke outside going, their smoke's wrong?
Well, they actually walk up the street.
Wow. So you must be burning stuff with like the stuff you can't burn. It's not like a...
Yeah, well, it was one sort of mistake that we burned something that we
shouldn't be burning.
Yeah.
I used to live in the country. I understand all this sort of burning.
So you're burning
stuff.
The wrong sort of wood.
So it's like the wood with like the grass sort of... It's like the grass and the sticky stuff you can't burn. It sends off like a really bad odour and it's like and it sizzles when you...
Just don't expect a 9-year-old to pull you
up
on
it. Just need some red gum in there.
No, thank you, 9-year-old.
Thanks,
no gum trees, though.
Okay. Celeste in Cranbourne. Hey, Celeste.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Celeste. Have you got a busybody annoying you?
Yes, I do. So I was driving my children to school and they were having their breakfast in the car, some toast, and we got to school and they had the crust left. And I said, they asked me if they were allowed to throw the crust on the nature strip. And I said, yeah, of course, that's not a problem. Break it up, throw it on the nature strip because the birds can eat it.
Yeah, well, is that not littering?
So,
no? Okay.
They did that, and then I hopped out the car, and some mum from the school walked up to me and said, oh, do you realise your children have been littering? And I said, no, they threw some bread crusts on the grass for the birds. And she goes, oh, I hardly think that's bird food, do you?
Oh.
And she started walking off, and my only response was to yell out, thank you!
Whoa, wow!
Celeste nailed it.
It's getting harder and harder to side with Celeste, surely.
Are you for real? It's bread.
The kid's littering and then she's swearing at people.
No, but so if you go down to the park and you chuck bread in the pond.
I think it's part of their natural, I don't think that's what birds would naturally
eat.
You
know what? Speaking of busybodies, no, we've got a park near us with a fish pond and I've taken crusts there to feed the fish with Trixie and a busybody came up and said that they'll poison the ducks.
Oh, might poison the ducks.
Busybodies.
Okay, 25 past 8.
101.9. The Fox. The Fox.
Hey, guys, I've got an idea. Let's get...
Physical.
Political.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get political, political. I want to get political.
Very nice.
Let's get political. Talk about your policies. Your policies. Talk about your policies.
Oh, my God, the election's 4 days away.
I know. Now, you've come to the wrong show if you genuinely want a political update about policies. What I'd like to talk about is with these pollies on the campaign trail, Fev, they're superstar receptions they get at primary schools. You, only a few weeks ago, you were at your girls' primary school.
Netball.
Netball. And ScoMo, Scott Morrison, was a superstar.
Rock star. They went nuts.
The kids.
They went crazy.
Really?
Crazy.
Hey, talking about politics before we get to this,
yeah.
I've signed up.
What have you done?
I'm going to vote.
You've enrolled. Brilliant. Excellent.
I'm in.
Can I help you?
I had a conversation with Mia yesterday.
His vote.
And on the couch, because Mia's voting, and she said, who do I vote for? And I told her who she should vote for.
Good.
And then we went through the names, and I said, you know, there's Bill Shorten and there's ScoMo. And she said, what's ScoMo's first name? I said, Scott Morrison. She had no idea what to do. They need to get to that gen a bit more.
There's a good website, honestly. The ABC do have a website called Compass, and you just put in the things you believe in, and they tell you.
Oh,
hey,
hang on.
I'm just saying, that's not a bad. That's not a bad.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that neutral, though. If it's the ABC's website, let's go to a more neutral website.
I've got a question for one of you. Yeah, so she me. Said, yeah, so she said. who do I vote for, Bella? And what do I do with the ballot when I put it in? Do I put it into the green box or the blue box? And I said, oh, I think there's blue, red, and green. The Greens, Liberals,
and
blue.
AEC official. No, but she said there's only two.
She said there's only two bins. Is that right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I said I've never voted.
It'll all be very simple once.
But we're going to go together and do it together. It's going to be like a crossword.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got to fill in the gaps.
Oh, it'll be great fun. Yeah. I love this.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
I can't wait to hear about your first time. Yeah. Being a responsible Australian citizen.
And not just copying the fine.
Just going for the snags.
We were just saying ScoMo turned up at a netball game and was treated like a rock star.
Yes,
Bill Shorts turned up at a primary school. I believe we've got some audio of the kids going nuts.
This is like One Direction.
Can we get a selfie?
Can we get a selfie?
Yeah. Here's the thing about kids. They'll get excited over anyone.
Yeah, they're not in class.
I don't want to take the wind out of any of these Polly's sails, but the truth is, when I was working on Sunrise as the weather presenter, I was often going to schools around Australia doing crosses.
They'd go nuts
and they'd go get so excited, and I'd go walk and I'd go, oh, this is really
big
feels
dog.
Good. And then, but after they've taken the selfie or you've signed the autograph, they'd just say, who are you? So, you know, kids will take anything. And I was thinking about that. When I was at school, I remember Channel 10 weather presenter at the time, Rob Gell, turned up. And the girls were going nuts for Rob Gell.
Rob Gell.
I mean, at 13, 10, 60, who came to your school when you were a kid that you just remember as, oh, we had a famous person at our school? Because Leon Shergren, our EP, you got pretty excited at Lilydale Primary School about somebody, didn't you?
Yep, Lilydale West Primary School.
Mm-hmm.
We had the winner of the first season of The Mole. Alan?
Who was that? Alan.
Mike Ridley.
Alan Mason, his name was.
And you've never forgotten that, have you?
No, it was a big moment.
The guy from The Mole turned up to your school.
That was a great show.
Did you have any famous people come to your
school? Well, I did. We had Year 7, a young Brendan Favola. St. Francis Xavier. We had a couple of North Melbourne Giants basketballers come down. Didn't really know basketball back then. There was Pat Reedy and Paul Rees, and I'll never forget them.
Pat Reedy?
Yeah, I'll never forget them.
That's
I've got their faces in my head. I can picture them. It was weird.
13, 10, 60.
It's the only thing I learned at school.
Who came to your school? Who did you get excited about? And maybe in retrospect, years later, they didn't deserve your excitement.
We'll get your calls after this.
Anyone go down to Cessnock?
On the Fox. I never lived in Cessnock.
101.9 The Fox.
We were just talking about all the Pollies on the campaign trail, and they're turning up to primary schools, and I think that why they're doing that is because primary school kids will give anyone a reception. You just have to tell a 10 or 12-year-old that someone's famous and they'll go nuts. They don't even need to know who they are.
And they don't even vote.
Exactly. So I don't know why they're focusing on primary schools. But we have said 13, 10, 60. Who came to your school when you were a kid and you got excited about? And maybe now you're thinking, gee, that was generous. Emma in Officer. Hi, Emma.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Em, who turned up to your primary school?
Well, he landed on our school oval in a helicopter. Ooh. It was the one and only David Stretch Brown, the weatherman.
Channel 7 weatherman.
That's something Mike Larkin would do, I reckon.
In a chopper.
Actually, Mike would go to a lot of schools. I'm surprised we're not getting more calls about Mike.
Has Mike come to your school? Give us a call, 13, 10, 60.
Mike makes wonderful pillows, too. That's
haven't got mine yet.
What a prize.
He left it here.
We've got to find you those pillows. Game changer.
He sent me a DM saying, have you got your pillow yet?
Extraordinary pillows.
Like, actual game changer. Courtney from Romsey. Hey, Court.
Hey, guys.
Courtney, who turned up to your school?
I think Fev might like this. Kevin Sheedy.
Yes.
Oh, that's impressive.
What a great man. He's a great man, Kevin Sheedy.
But we weren't so welcoming. The guys actually egged him.
Oh, jeez.
Great Kevin Sheedy.
It wasn't me. I'm Essendon all the way, but some of the other guys probably came from the
corner. Well, that's a tough thing for a
footballer. Egging's come a long way, hasn't it?
It's always been there. It's always been around.
Way before Egg Boy, people were egging
but
people.
But yeah, footballers, because everyone loves footy players, but if you're from the wrong team.
Yeah, we do it.
Oh, you're okay. Hello, right? Jeez, you're
what
right?
happened? Did I was, you swallow something?
Yeah, accidentally.
What?
Okay. I just had a cough lolly in my mouth. So I swallowed it. Okay. A lot of footy players go to schools, which is great. I used to love going out to schools because you get off training, but then you go hang out with the kids. And I'm a kid.
And
so I loved
the kids
it.
Love you.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Fev.
And it was more was like that just Jody.
Linda in Eltham. Hi, Linda.
Morning. How are you all?
Good, Linda. Who turned up to your school?
I had Shirley Strawn in about grade 5 or 6 from Shirl's Neighbourhood and Skyhooks.
Right there, I love that, Linda.
Wow.
Right, growing up as a kid, he was from Shirl's, I remember that vaguely, and there was a kangaroo.
Do you? I thought you were a bit younger than that.
Oh, you know what? It's a long memory, but didn't he have like a toy kangaroo, it was a puppet kangaroo?
Yeah. It's like the equivalent, I reckon, of the kids from Cheese TV turning up to your school.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a coup.
I tell you, I had one of the great men that was ever put on this planet. Jimmy Steins came out when I was at Hallam High. I think it was in year 11. And he came out and spoke to the whole auditorium about the REACH program.
Mm.
Wow.
See, what
that
would have been actually really good.
Mate, what a man.
Mm.
I left there going, wow, if I could do anything he did.
That's amazing.
Be a pretty
good
fella.
He
was a great man.
People.
I remember
reached a lot of people.
That. He did reach a lot of people.
I'm surprised no mascots got any references there, like a Marty Monster or a Humphrey or a Fat Cat.
I don't know how much they get around schools.
Do they not turn up to schools?
I don't think men dressed up in costumes.
Is that what happened at Cessnock?
Just checking. Anyway, we are
Humphrey come and just said nothing.
That should be really disappointing, wouldn't it?
Underworks, the number one down under for socks and has been for 20 years.